Transform your life today. Welcome to Super Coach with Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is financial possibilities. And if you would like some coaching about having what you want around money or any area of your life, the numbers to call are 866-254-1579. It's toll free in the United States and Canada, 866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, you can reach the show on 760-918-4300. And I'm just going to take a little bit of time to set the table, but then I'm going to go right to the phones because I know people always, they always want to talk when we talk about money. So one of the things, I was brought up in a family of engineers and scientists. And one of the things I learned is that real science, not scientism. Scientism is the religion of science that just accepts what people have found in science as true. And if science says it, it's true. And it's no more or less of a sort of a blind faith than people have in other religion. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's different from science. Science is about experimentation, and it's about hypothesis and experiment and conclusion. And when it comes to the laboratory of our lives, what I found is most people don't like science. They're not willing to experiment. And what they actually want to do is just figure out, well, what are the rules of the game? And then I'm going to do my best to follow them. And then I'm going to just take what I can get. And in that real world that we actually live in, what I found, and you know, think about it, if you find this for yourself, there's a real difference between the what I call premature practicality of the mind, which is before I even get into what I want and what's possible for me, I'm already onto, well, how would I do it? I mean, yeah, I may want that, but how would I do it? And if I can't answer the how, I'm not even going to let myself get to the want to. And yet the problem is that want to leads to how to. How to doesn't always lead to want to. And there, as I say, there's a real difference between the sort of premature practicality of the mind and the inspired wisdom of the heart. And when people follow the reasonable course of action, they get consistently moderate results. But when they find the courage to follow through with what they really want to do, one of two things happens. Either they succeed just gloriously, or they have such a great time failing that it really doesn't matter that they didn't get all the way there. And the problem is that what we really want, and yes, this includes around money, what we really want around money just seems plain unreasonable to most of us, especially when we look at it in the context of what we've had up until now, when we look at it in the context of the past. Now understand, it's not that your financial goals or any goals that you have, that they can't make sense in the big picture of your life. It's just that they don't have to. So here's the rule of thumb. The number of reasons you have to do something or to want something is inversely proportional to how much you actually want to do it or have it. In other words, if all your financial goals are built around reasons and reasonableness, the chances are they're not really your financial goals. But if you have a financial goal that just resonates with you at a heart level, then you know that is something that's real for you. And the great thing about our little universe is that the more clear and honest you get about what you really want, the more everything in the universe conspires to help you get it. So we're going to go to the phones in just a minute. Numbers to call again, 866-254-1579, 866-254-1579 in the United States and Canada. And from outside the country, you can reach us by dialing your country code and then 760-918-4300. Throughout the show, I'm going to be dropping in other little sort of tidbits about how you can begin to get in touch with what you really want around money, but also how you can open up the possibilities. But let's go to the phones and let's begin with Christy. Christy, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today? Hello, Christy.
Hello, Michael. I was hoping that you could give me a boost, a little clarity around how to begin a career. I'm 54. Mm-hmm. I stayed home as a mom for 20 years. My son's in college. And I had sort of a semi-plan when he left for college. I would go be a substitute teacher to see if I liked it well enough before I actually went and got a credential. Mm-hmm. Well, it coincided exactly with the financial meltdown, and no longer were they hiring any substitute teachers that didn't have a credential. So then I kind of like, well, I don't have a plan B. So I've been sitting around for 2 years kind of trying to get some inspiration, and I'm a little stuck.
Yeah, well, so, no, I guess sitting around for 2 years is probably plan C.
Yeah, really.
We'll call that Plan C.
Right, right. Exactly. So there was a plan in between A and C that I probably should find, right?
Well, there certainly are other possibilities besides sitting at home or mm-hmm. getting hired by a state that doesn't hire people.
Right.
You know, okay. So I would say that's true. They say this is a weird analogy. Maybe it's not such a weird analogy with schools, but one of the things they say when some of the people who I work with who work in with gangs is they talk about a third way. And they tell them, look, there's always a third way. Because most people think the only choice they've got in that kind of situation, a gang situation, is if somebody disrespects you, if they diss you, that either I've got to fight or I've just got to bear the humiliation. Like, those are my choices. And when they talk to people about a third way, and they explain that they've got this wisdom, and that they've got this wisdom inside them, and that wisdom, I'm really sorry, I have no idea what that, where that's coming from, but we'll just bear with it. We'll pretend it's not there, you and I.
I don't even hear it.
There you go.
Yeah, we'll pretend. Yes.
Pay no attention. These are not the droids you're looking for.
my peeps.
what they actually have found is that once people know that there's a third way, that it's not that you have to choose between the best of two bad things,
right?
They begin to open up to that higher wisdom that lets them find it. So if the choice wasn't sit around and do nothing, or California changes their mind.
Right.
Know that whether we find it on this call or whether you it comes to you after we're done, know that there is always that third way. There's always that higher wisdom path, which may or may not be logical, but as soon as you hear it, you go, do you know what? I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. So just putting aside Plan A and putting aside Plan C, what would you love to do?
Well, I do ask myself that a lot. It's a great question.
do you answer it? Because it's an even better question when you answer it.
You know, I don't answer it, but I answer it with things, and then, of course, I'm not sure if that was a real answer or sort of a made-up answer.
Give me an example of an answer that you're not sure. So, like, I mean, my calibration would be... I want to, what I'd really love to do is fly naked, through the streets of Kabul. I know that's probably a made up answer. I mean, maybe not for everyone. There might be somebody listening to the show today. He's spoken my dream. This
that's
is wonderful.
It. But
so what's an example of something that's been in that sort of, well, that I'm not sure if it's a real answer or not.
Okay. Here's my latest one that I thought of that I haven't been able to kind of hook in. Okay, let me just say it out. Dream coach.
Mm-hmm.
That is the latest thing, and I came up with this because I'm a Hay House addict, and I know Denise Lynn is doing a dream coach thing mm-hmm. online. So it's been sort of stuck in my craw, and then I thought, well, I don't know, do I really want to do that? So, okay, that's one example.
Well, let's stick with that one. Just stick with that one for a minute.
All right.
How would you know that it was real?
How would I know if I were doing it?
So it occurs to me, and if you've listened to the show, you've heard me use this analogy, but you got to flirt before you date. You got to date before you get engaged. It's usually a good idea to get engaged before you get married.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking for something to do, if you're not sure what to do, well, you're not gonna know until you sort of flirt with the things that you're attracted to.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're attracted to dream coach, well, then the next step might be to explore it further. And if you explore it further, one of two things will happen. Either as you explore it further, you go, oh my gosh, this is even better than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Or you'll go,
Mm-hmm.
And if you go, that's a subtle clue that probably this isn't your direction. And if you mm-hmm. go, oh my God, this is even better than I thought, that's a subtle clue that it might be worth doing even more of.
Right.
See, the problem is, again, and this isn't a Christie problem, this is a human being problem, mm-hmm. is we try to work it all out in our heads
exactly.
before we do anything.
Right.
And we take a sort of we think like, maybe if I just think about it long enough, I'll know. And
right,
if you think about it long enough, you'll get old.
Exactly. And that's exactly that's what's that happening. That's exactly what's happening. And I do, that's really zeroes in on it. I work everything out in my head until the point where now I'm bored with it. I don't even want to start because I've already lived it in my head.
Okay, so here's your challenge. I want you to take the next three things, the next three answers that come up for you to what would I love to do, and I want you to flirt with them. I want you to take whatever the next step would be if you were going to go ahead. And notice as you do, not as you think about it, but as you do it, does your energy go up or does it go down? And if it goes up, do more of it. And if it goes down, back away. Okay, but here's it. But this is the absolute key to this working. Not in your head.
Right, in your body, right?
In your body. And not when you think about it, when you're actually doing it. So it's not when you're sitting there thinking, well, gee, do I really want to be a dream coach? Yeah, my energy kind of goes up. It's, no, I'm on the website looking at it. Am I getting more energy or less?
Right.
Because the problem with trying to figure it out in your head is, it would be like trying to figure out what's really going on in the world by walking through a cinema multiplex. And it's like, ooh, God, oh my God, where the earth is being attacked by aliens. Oh no, it's not. It's filled with lovable, cute little creatures with one eye and two eye that go, you know, oh my gosh, no, it's not. It's romantic. Oh God, there's love. Oh my God, there's the aliens again. You know, our heads are filled with such crap.
Yes.
It's just not it's not an atmosphere conducive to really finding out what you would really love. And the real world is a great place to do that in your body. Is a great place to check in with that. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Okay. It makes sense. And okay.
So that's it. That's your mission. What you do is when you've done that, then you phone back and we talk more.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
All
very
right.
Good.
Thank you very much, Christy.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. And look, again, I said to Christy, it's true. We all kind of tend towards that. To try and work it all out in our heads and try and work out, well, is it possible? Is it really what I want? Is it really for me? How would you know? And you won't know until you're actually engaged in the process. And that's always the next step. Let's go to Colorado. Let's go to Dina. Dina, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Oh, hi, Michael. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Well, my question is, 3 years ago, after having my business for a few years, I was doing really well. Mm-hmm. Following all the principles we learn in this type of programs and, you know, feel the fear and do it anyway. You can attract anything you want. You need to help others. So I was doing so well, I decided to start a second business. Mm-hmm. Well, my second business was a total failure. And only 3 years later, I decided to close it down. But I'm still paying for that. And my question to you is, like, how do I move forward? I feel paralyzed now to take action. I cannot stop thinking about all the money and the time I wasted and all the things I could have done with that time and that money. I feel ashamed with my family, my kids, for leaving them alone so much. Chasing something for the sake of chasing it.
So Dina, is it Dina or Dina?
Dina.
It sounds to me like you think that the reason the business failed was something to do with you.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, did you, and forgive me, these questions are not designed to be offensive. I'm just trying to clarify something.
Okay. Go ahead.
Did you steal from the business?
No.
Did you deliberately set out to defraud any of your customers?
No. As a matter of fact, completely the opposite.
Okay. So what... What is it that you think you did that if you had done differently, the business would have thrived?
The only thing I can is not doing it. There was the wrong idea, the wrong time, the wrong place. I did not put a lot of, I didn't dedicate it as much time as I was supposed to, I guess, as what people had said to me when I asked that directly. Said, well, you would not hear that often, and pretty much I left employees run it.
Mm-hmm.
And
now I'm going to guess that at the time that you did that, that seemed like it should work.
Yes, because I had all the right ingredients. You know, it was a service that it was going to be needed. It was going to be in the right location. I thought if I pay an employee really good, to be able to manage any situation.
I'm sorry to interrupt, let me share one of the great freeing, liberating principles of creation in the world of form. Okay, you ready for this?
Yes.
Sometimes stuff doesn't work the way we think it will.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. But what we do is, because we think that everything should work,
mm-hmm.
we assume that if it doesn't, that it's mm-hmm. something to do with us. Now, I'm not saying that maybe if you had done 500 things differently, it might not mm-hmm. have worked, but you wouldn't have done 500 things differently because the business looked the way it looked to you at the time.
Yes.
Sometimes things just aren't in the cards for a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
But if we think that it's only because I should have known. Well,
yep.
Really? Because if you should have known, you would have known. That's how you would know that that's what you should do. In other words, we can't see what we don't see until we see it.
Yes.
And what will absolutely, regardless of what happened in the past, if I was going to write a formula and write a book and do a radio show about how to mess up the next 5 years of your life, it would be spend them blaming yourself for the last three.
Okay. I got it.
Okay. So I'm not saying it will necessarily be completely easy, but you will gain nothing going forward by trying to live in some sort of shame or embarrassment about the past. The best thing about the past, my friend Richard Bandler says this all the time, the best thing about the past is that it's over.
Yes.
And what happens, the reason it doesn't feel over is because we keep reliving it in our heads.
Well, and the fact that the bills keep coming in too.
Well, no, the bills are in the present.
Yeah.
The story the bills. See, the bills don't hurt. The bills, you'll either pay the bills or you won't.
Yeah.
The story about the bills is what hurts. The story that if only you weren't so foolish, there wouldn't be bills. That's what
it's
hurts.
True.
That's what keeps you stuck.
Yeah.
And that story is made up by you, told by you, listened to by you. Do me a favor, and this is a really odd favor, and believe me, this is not something I've ever asked somebody to do on the air before, and I probably never will again, but just bear with me. Take your right hand, if you can.
Yes.
Okay? And I want you to gently put it around your throat.
My toe?
Your throat.
My throat, okay.
Yes, around your toe would be funnier, but around your throat will be more dramatic.
Okay.
Okay?
And
as if you were strangling yourself.
Okay.
Okay. Now notice that you can probably feel pressure on your throat. I'm doing it along with you. And
mm-hmm.
it probably feels like, oh my gosh, there's pressure on my throat and this is really scary and this is really unpleasant and I want this to stop, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now look down at your arm.
Okay.
And notice that it's your hand that's putting all the pressure there.
Yep.
Now do you want to keep doing that?
No.
Then let go. Let it go.
Let go.
Okay.
Thank you.
And now that you can breathe, give yourself a little bit of time, let your sort of natural well-being and wisdom come back up, and then it'll be time to look forward, and then it'll be time to look at what you want to create. Okay?
Okay. And Michael, do I also need to continue digging into what the lessons were? That's another thing I spend a lot of time on.
I can only tell you my experience, and my experience is that the more time you spend thinking about the past, the mm-hmm. less time you spend in the present. And the less time you spend in the present, the less joy you feel, the less clarity you get, and the less wisdom you get.
So the lessons will come when I need them.
The lessons will come
write them down right now and if I
figure
them out.
That's exactly right.
Okay. Because that's another thing. I just keep thinking, okay, you know, what are the lessons?
We get obsessed with the past. We get obsessed with, I have to figure it all out before I can move forward. No, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't. I'm not saying there's never anything to learn, but you'll see it when you see it.
And just very quickly, also, one of the reasons I started the business is because I wanted to help the community and that we were doing, computer lessons and things like that. And At the end, I felt like I was there trying to help, just to use an analogy, people who were drowning. Mm-hmm. And in the effort to help them, I was drowning with them. The only reason they wanted me around was so I can't help them. And they were desperate and they borrowed money from me. They wanted me to buy their products or their services that nobody really cared. I mean, that was the feeling I felt. And maybe it was in my own head, but that's how I feel, you know, now resentment over the community I was supposed to be helping.
So here's what I know, Dina.
Okay.
That was in the past.
Okay.
Okay.
It's also in the past.
Okay. You'll know, because when you open your eyes, it won't be in front of you.
You're right.
Okay.
You're right.
All right.
That makes sense. Thank you so much, Mike. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Bye.
And as you listen, notice that what Dina wanted to do, and it's something that we all do, is to turn inspiration. Here's how it goes. It goes inspiration, scripture, scripting. We see something. We have a bit of wisdom. We have an insight. And it really helps us. And then that becomes our new scripture. We sort of follow that, like, oh, I see. Gosh, the world is what I think it is. Oh, I can create. I can attract what I want into my life. And we actually see it. And we have this wonderful experience. And that becomes our scripture. But at some point, as we get caught back up in our own thinking, that scripture becomes scripting. It becomes the new rules. It becomes, oh, well, I'm supposed to be able to attract whatever I want. So if I'm not doing it, obviously there's something wrong with me. And that's when it starts to hurt. That's when it stops being valuable. The value is in being present. And in the present, that's where the next insight comes. And your wisdom will guide you and it will unfold for you. But you just have to actually be where it is. And where it is right here, right now. Let's go to San Francisco. Let's go to Rita. Rita, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today? Hello, Rita. All right. Well, maybe we'll be able to come back to Rita later. Let's go to Shelley in Ohio. Shelley?
Yes. Hello.
Yay.
How are you?
You're really there. You're a real person. Yay.
I'm here. I'm not Rita, but I'm next.
Well, I guess you'll have to do. What can I do for you, Shelley?
Well, I've kind of discovered something about myself lately. My husband passed away about a year and a half ago, so I'm discovering all kinds of things about myself, actually. But one of the things is I have found that when I think about making a lot of money, mm-hmm. it in my mind, a lot of stress and a lot of expectations.
Okay.
I could do just about anything for free and probably be pretty relaxed. I shouldn't say that. I have done a lot of things for free before. I'm a yoga teacher and I do things like that. But since he died, I had to take on a role that, you know, I could earn more money at. But I had an opportunity to do something different in my new job. And every time I think about making more than X amount of dollars, I think it's going to be more expectations.
Okay. So Shelley, can you stay with me over the break?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay. So here's what I'd like you to do over the break. We're coming up on a break.
Sure.
What I'd like you to do mm-hmm. is I would like you to think about something that you know that you're comfortable doing for free. And I mm-hmm. want you to find the exact dollar amount for me when you start feeling stress. Because I'm going to guess it's not $1. Okay.
And
I want you to, when we come back from the break, I'm going to ask you for that number. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. So, we are going to be back with Shelley. We're going to be back with more thoughts about financial possibilities and more of your calls. If you want to get in the second half, the numbers again, 866-254-1579 or 760-918-4300. And I'm also going to talk to you about, a couple of simple questions, a simple shift in questions, and how that opens up financial possibilities. And I'm also going to share a little exercise with you in the second half called Three Budgets. So we're going to be right back with more of that right after this break. Bye-bye for now.
Real strategies for real change. This is Supercoach with Michael Neal.
We are back. We're talking about financial possibilities. And just before I go back to the phones, I just want to share a very simple question that can really open up some new possibilities for you. And it's just to notice when you're looking at what you want to create around money in your life, notice that you are almost certainly asking at some level, is it possible? I mean, can I really do this? I mean, could this really happen? You know, could I really ever be self-employed? Could I really ever be financially free? Could I really ever be a millionaire? Could I really ever be rich? Whatever it is. And I want you to just notice what changes when you change your answer to your question to, do I want to? Do I want to be really rich? Not that I should or shouldn't, but do I want to? Do I light up at the thought? Do I want to have $1 million? Do I want to have $500? Do I want to do a different job? Do I want to do this job? And if you let yourself begin to navigate by your own desire instead of your sense of what's possible, then what you'll find is so much more is possible than you currently think. And we do this all the time. We have a program, Creating the Impossible, at geniuscatalyst.com. And that's what people find again and again, that when they take possibility out of the way, they find out that actually, if they follow their own wanting, they can create wonderful, wonderful lives. Let's go back to Shelley in Ohio. Shelley, what was your number? What's the nervous number?
So, like, it's really funny because I already knew this. It's 35,000. Anything over that?
Okay, so 35,000 is the magic number.
Yeah.
Now, what changes at $35,000? I want you to look in your own experience and see if you can see what's different at 35,001 than at 34,999.
The first thing that comes to my mind is I would be doing something that I wouldn't want to be doing.
Okay, So at $35,000, you have to start whoring yourself out, essentially. And look, that's a good rate. However, you know, there's no question about it. But I hear that, I guess. I have my standards right up to $34,999. And then they go out the window.
Anything for $34,000, yes. Yeah, and I don't know if it's because that's what I was doing in the past when I made more money. And since I've been with my husband, while I was with him for 20 years, and I got to do the things I wanted to do. I was an artist. I was a writer. I was a yoga teacher. And as soon as I went back, when they said, how much money do you want? I said, $35,000. I could have probably gotten more.
Mm-hmm. So here's two things that I just want to give you now, because obviously we're on a radio show. We're only going to get
absolutely.
So far. But here's the first. First off, know that I'm very sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
The second thing is what actually happens at $35,000 and $1 is you start to think about it.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
And that's what actually holds us back. Is when we go from just going with the flow of our knowing to thinking about it. Because as soon as we get up in our heads and get caught up in the, well, I could do this, but then at this, then I'd have to do that, and I don't want to do that, and if I did that, then people would think this, we're gone.
And they would expect things of me, and what if I can't do it?
Exactly. And it doesn't even matter what you think. It's the fact that you think, and that you're caught up in those thoughts. You're no longer connecting to your own wisdom.
Mm.
And the second you drop back down, and look, you can think of it as you know, if you want to play a game with it, you know, see if you can get to 35,400 without thinking. You know, see if you can get to, you know, if that's too hard, 35,162. And you'll start to see at some point that all that's happening is there's a certain number at which you think, hang on, I got to think about this now. And it's not the number, it's the, hang on, I've got to think about this now. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah.
Because then what you're doing, what you're really doing when you think about it, is you're going back into your memory, and you're going back into the past, and you're trying to gauge the future by the past.
I've been pretty much living my life like that lately.
Yeah. You know, there's nothing wrong with it except for the fact that it's miserable and doesn't work.
No, it does not.
So
it's my habit.
Yeah, it's just, and that's all it is. And you know what? The great thing about that is it doesn't take much to change it.
Yeah. That makes sense. I just don't want to get stressed out again.
Yeah. And what stressed you out wasn't the number. It was the thinking. You can have the number without the thinking. It really is okay.
And how do you go about doing that?
Well, but the simplest thing is to just notice the truth of it. That there isn't a real connection between the number and the thinking. Notice that the thing that affects your stress levels is the thinking. And then if you do decide that you want to, you know, deal with something, go ahead and deal with the thinking, but don't confuse it with the number. It has nothing to do with the number. I mean, in fact, I would go the other way. I would go, well, look, you know what? Let me just go ahead and, okay, I'm going to go to 35,000 is bad. All right, I'm going to go to 135,000. All right, so now, boom. If I'm going to stress, at least let me stress about some real money. Because what I'm going to start to see, and the laughter is a sign that you're already starting to see it, is it's not the number.
I know.
Okay?
Yeah.
So have some fun with it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. Let's go to St. Louis, Missouri, and let's go to Jean. Jean, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi. Well, I already have to tell you, I feel a lot better since I called just listening to everybody else because I was in tears when I first called.
Well, I'm glad you're feeling better. What's still on your mind?
Okay. Well, the thing of it is, you know, I'm kind of like everybody else. The bottom line is I'm just so sick and tired of not making any money, not having any money. You know, and I'm even listening to you talk about everybody just kind of get out of the past or whatever. So anyway, it's just been a major struggle. You know how some people just have things that are just easier for others.
I know how it looks that way sometimes.
Okay. Well, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
So here's one thing right off the bat. If you compare your insides to someone else's outsides, you're always going to struggle. Because what's fascinating, and I know this because I've been working with people for 20 years, is what you see and what's really going on are often very different things.
Right. And it's not even that it's not even a matter of like comparing, but even, you know I have a business that I love and I want to have $100 million business. Mm-hmm. I believe it's possible. But you know, I did run out of money after I started it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so I go get a job. Even in my last job, you know, I made a third of the person that I trained to replace me. So it's not even like I'm comparing.
Well, but actually, Jean, it's all about comparing. In other words, you're comparing what you made to what the person who replaced you made. You're comparing what happened so far in your business to what number you'd like to have happen in your business. Mm-hmm. And look, the thing about comparison
is... I got a comparison problem.
Well, yeah. I mean, compared to a lot of people, you do. the thing about comparison is it's a game that we play with ourselves. Because look, if you just want an artificial boost of self-esteem, compare yourself to some people who are worse off than you, and you'll get it. If you want to continue to feel bad, keep comparing yourself to people who seem to be better off than you, and you get to feel that. They're both games. It's just you happen to be, you know. It's like I sometimes use the analogy with tennis players. That, you know, if I take two tennis players and one of them wins 90% of the time and one of them only wins 50% of the time, which one's the better tennis player? And the answer is the one who's playing the harder competition. Because if I'm winning 50% of the time against really hard competition, I'm probably a better tennis player than the guy who's playing like 3-year-old kids.
Right.
and winning 90% of the time.
That makes sense. I know I'm playing a harder game.
Yeah.
I don't have
a career path.
I don't have, I'm all over the place because it's helping me build who I am so I can have my business.
That's right. And there's just actually no need for comparison. You know, the question that I would be asking is, how am I doing?
But I'm tired of being poor in the meantime, even if I quit comparing. And I see that.
Okay. Great. So
okay.
That
just helped me so much. Okay. And it's, you know, right. I've made my own struggles because it's actually part of my growth for who I want to become.
And here's the thing. There's a difference. Stay with me, Jane. There's a difference between being tired of being poor and wanting to have money.
Okay.
Being tired of being poor just, I mean, that may be true, but it doesn't in and of itself, it's not a creative place to go come from.
Okay.
There may or may not be a place in you that also would really like to have money. And if there is, the question that I would ask next is, what for? Because one of the things that I've learned is money is much easier to create when we know what we're creating it for. And so if you're up for it, I'm going to give you a homework assignment.
Okay.
And this is an assignment I'll give to anyone who's listening to the show right now. I want you to create 3 financial targets for yourself. Okay. And here's how I would like you to do it. The first one is going to be, if I bring in this number, I know I can maintain my lifestyle without any additional suffering. So it might be more than you're making now. It's not like your best life, your most amazing life, a rich life, but it's like, this is the reality of what my life would cost if it was basically what I'd like. Just the basics. Okay, does that make sense as a category?
Okay.
Okay. Yep. The second number you're going to come up with is, if I really was doing the things I really wanted to be doing, this is what it would cost. So it's like, you know, so it's going to be that basic life, but I'm also going to, you know, I'm going to be going out for lunch a few times a week. I'm going to be traveling, going on a nice holiday once or twice a year. I'm going to be whatever it is that would take it from, you know, okay, this is basic. This is fine. There's no suffering here. There's no struggle here, but it's just okay, to actually, this is great. This would be wonderful. That's your second target. Okay, does that make sense?
Okay.
As a category. And again, be careful here. Make sure that you know what the number's for, because what sometimes people will do is they'll make up a number that feels good. And I actually want you to spend the money on paper so you know exactly what every penny of it's for.
Okay.
Okay. Then your third target's the fantasy. It's like, well, all right. I mean, if I had everything that I ever fantasized about having, how much money would that actually cost? And I'll just tell you, people are often surprised that that number is a lot lower than they think it is. But it might be bigger. It's okay if it's bigger. And then that's going to be your third number. Okay. Do you understand the 3 categories?
Yep.
Great.
I got it.
Then once you've got them, then your mission, should you choose to accept it, is simply to begin going about creating the first number. When that first number is created, then begin going about creating the second number. And then when the second number is created, you have a choice about whether or not you want to play the game of creating the third number. But it's just a game at that point, because you're already doing the things you want to be doing that cost money to do.
Okay.
Okay.
I got it.
And all right. Brilliant. And feel free, when you've done that, feel free to call back into the show another time and we can talk further. But what you're doing there is you're getting out of the sort of, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but you're getting out of the poor me thing. You're getting out of the look at them and look at me and I have this and they have that. And you're getting out of the, oh, I hate this. And you're just right back into a creative place, which is, okay, this is what I want to create. And this is what I want to create it for. And from that place, it's much, much easier to create. All right.
I got it.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you.
Okay. And God, I so understand that pain, that angst, that sense of, oh God, this is so hard. hard because it feels hard. Doesn't mean it is hard, but it does feel hard. And what makes it feel hard is that we try to do it all in our heads. And the great thing about real life is you can only really do one thing at a time, which is the next thing. And that's all you have to do is whatever's next. And after that, you're still only going to have to do one thing, and that's whatever's next. And what's next for me is talking to Martha in Taos. Martha, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, Michael. I am so glad to be able to talk to you. I have sent you an email after I had a dream. And in a dream, I only heard the line, where there is a will, there is a way.
I remember you.
Remember that?
Yes, I do.
And then you closed your show just the day after I had this dream, saying, where there is a way, there is a will. And I said, wow, there must be a message in here, and you probably made a mistake, so I wrote you an email. And then you said, no, you said this very deliberately, and you directed me to your book.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have two questions. I still don't know what I'm looking for, but my dream gives me hope that I will find that clarity. And the second one is, I could not take those steps that you sent me, you know, those excerpts from your book,
mm-hmm.
where there is a way, there is a will. Instead, I asked you if you could explain this to me in a transformational way so I can get it.
Okay, so I am going to try and translate this so that people listening to the show stop going, what?
Oh.
Okay, and so just bear with me if it seems like I'm going off topic a little bit, because they haven't read your emails,
okay.
All right? So one of the things that I talk about, and I talk about in the book, You Can Have What You Want, is that we often say where there's a will, there's a way. But in fact, where there's a way, there's a will. And instead of like trying to motivate ourselves by increasing our motive, by finding more and more reasons to get what we want, what actually I've noticed to be true in practice is that when we really get in touch with the want to, the how to starts to show up. And just an example of it for me today that I really noticed, I was reading a post that somebody had posted about the environment and about global warming. And it was a really interesting post, because what they were saying was, if you're gambling on whether or not there really is a problem with global warming, how will you know? At what point? What has to happen? How bad does it have to get before you decide, actually, this is a problem that I want to do something about? And I thought it was a very interesting question. And one of the things that I noticed in my own thinking as I was asking myself that question is, well, yeah, but it doesn't really, you know, I don't know how. I mean, okay, let's say that I do think it's a problem. I don't know what to do about it. I don't know how to change it. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that I was doing exactly what I say not to do, which is I was caught up in the, well, gee, I need to know how to. I need to know the way. Mm-hmm. And then I can, you know, then I'll do something about it. And in fact, that when you know, this is why where there's a will, there's a way still is true. When I find that, you know, okay, I really want to do this, then I can find the way. But part of what allows me to really get in touch with my own wanting is seeing that it's possible. Because what happens, there's this phenomenon called learned helplessness. Mm-hmm. And people learn, well, nothing I do is going to matter, so I'm not going to do anything. And the way around that is when you start to see that actually there are things that you can do that matter, that there is a way from here to there, that the amount of money that somebody wants to make is possible, that actually it could be done. Not necessarily that it will be done, but that it could be done. There is a way, there is a path from here to there. If I do have a real desire for something, then that desire can come out now. It's safe to come out and play, because I'm no longer worried about, oh, well, I don't want to let myself want that because I'll just be disappointed later.
Mm-hmm.
And so what where there's a way, there's a will is saying is open up to the possibility that you could have what you want.
And that could be anything, right?
And that could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
And as you open up to that, as you begin to see, okay, you know what? This could happen. This actually could happen. It gets more and more energy starts getting generated around it. And a simple exercise, and I don't know if I sent this to you or not, but it's a simple exercise that anyone can do around it, is just, you know, pick something that you really want, you know, something that you're working on. And on a scale from 1 to 10, where 10 is you're there and 1 is you're just starting, where are you? So maybe you're halfway there. So you're at around a 5 or a 6. And then just start to work backwards from the goal. Like if you're at a 6, what would 7 be? You know, or what would 9, if 10 is being all the way there, what would 9 be? What would 8 look like? What would 7 look like? And begin to connect the path between where you are and where you want to be. Not because you're going to follow it. And that's the interesting thing, is that you don't have to follow that plan. But the second that you see, do you know what? This could happen.
It's the seeing.
It's the seeing. Mm-hmm. And that's that third level that you're talking about.
Yes, exactly. It's the thing that the native people would not see the ship because they haven't seen one before, right?
That's right. And there's a wonderful psychological innocence here. You can't see what you don't see until you see it.
Yeah.
But the second you see it, it all changes. It's like when I was talking to the woman earlier and I had her put her hand around her throat.
Right.
And then noticed that she was choking herself. Right. Until you see that it's your hand around your throat,
mm-hmm.
There's nothing you can do. You'll do your best, but you'll be fighting this invisible enemy. Mm-hmm. The second you see that it's your own hand, you let go. There's no doing. There's no practice. There's no, let me work on that one and get back to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's done. Yeah. And that's why this level 3 coaching that I talk about in Supercoach, the most powerful coaching, the transformative coaching that we teach on Supercoach Academy, that is about guiding people towards a deeper seeing.
Yes, and that's why I had an introductory conversation, because I wanted to see if it's a possibility for me.
Fantastic. And to just bring that loop full circle, the more you can see that it is possible,
mm-hmm.
the clearer it will be to you whether or not you actually want to do it.
Yes.
Thank you, Martha.
Thank you so much. I love you, Michael.
Oh, thank you.
Bye.
Bye. And that really is the thing, that this is, in a way, this is nice to finish here, because this is financial possibility in a nutshell. The reason having a sense of possibility around money matters is because when you can see that it's possible, you get clear on whether or not you want it. Story I tell, I don't know if I actually tell this and you can have what you want, but it's one of the stories that inspires the book, was of an actor I worked with, I coached, who wanted a car, and he wanted this car, and it was his dream car, and I knew about his finances, and I knew that he actually could have that car, but in his head, he was still poor. And so I took him to the car dealer, he sat in the car, he drove the car, he got back, we looked at the numbers, he looked at the numbers and went, oh my God, I could actually have this. And then he turned to the salesperson and said, you know what? I'm really sorry. Didn't mean to waste your time, but I'm not going to take it. And I asked him, I said, what was that about? And he said, well, I realize now that I only really wanted it because I thought I couldn't have it. And now that I can see that I can have it, that's not what I really want. And this will be true for you around money. There will be things that around money that when you see that you could have them, you'll go, do you know what? I really want it. I want to go for it. This is going to be fun. And there will be other things that you've been thinking, oh yeah, I've got to get that. I've got to get that. I've got to get that. That when you recognize that you could have that, that actually that's possible for you, then you'll also look and see, do you know what? I don't really need $17 million. I'm actually fine with whatever my number is. So I hope you've enjoyed the show today. If you like the things we talk about, check us out online at geniuscatalyst.com. If you're interested in more about sort of transformative coaching or super coaching, go to supercoachacademy.com to find out more about the trainings. Until next week, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now.